Actually, I was in my 20s before I ever started any of that. But the first time I was a clown was when I was 7. And that hooked me pretty much. I saw the makeup and the mirror, and I went, okay, that's not me. This is good.
How did you become a clown at 7? Like, what?
I was in a play. Oh. I went to a two-room schoolhouse in Tucker, Arkansas, and we had a play. It was 6 grades in 2 rooms. We had a play called Animal Fair, and one of the characters was a clown. And I got to be the clown. And it just broke my heart when I had to take the makeup off, because that was the greatest thing I ever saw. It was fun.
When was the next time you had paint on your face?
The next time was up in the 70s, 74. My mother had a brain tumor, and I was the only one who had a flexible schedule, and so I was the one that was picking her up from work after her half days that she could work. And I saw a place called the Red Barn in Little Rock had a tuxedo with tails in the window. And I went by there and turned around and went back, and I found a black tuxedo with tails and a 20s model derby hat. And I got the whole outfit for $3. And I had a friend that had a costume store. So I went to her and bought some clown makeup. And I put the whole thing on, the makeup. Now, I didn't know anything about putting makeup on, so it was horrible. But I went and picked my mother up from work in clown face with this outrageous outfit on. And her boss, his wife, was there, and she told me she'd give me $10 if I would go to her son's second grade class and do a Halloween party. And I went, people will pay me to do silly stuff. That's it. That's it. I'm done. Silly stuff from now on. And it was, you know, I ran 37 years and finally got tired.
Silly, but a lot of that takes skill. Like, how does one learn to juggle things or ride a unicycle?
Well, the way I learned to juggle was I bought a 10-pound bag of oranges, and I made orange juice for about 2 weeks. Until I learned to juggle. And as for the unicycle, I found a unicycle. I never meant to do any of this.
Uh-huh.
I found a unicycle in a used toy store. And it was a Schwinn, a really nice Schwinn unicycle, and it was cheap. And so for 2 weeks, I fell down a lot until I learned to ride a unicycle. And if I'd had somebody to show me how to do that, I could have learned in a day. But I didn't have anybody show me how, so I just had to kind of figure it out.
So did you show Liam? Because Liam, the first time I remember seeing you was on stage at the Cellar's Door, and you were riding a unicycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very impressed that an actor was riding a unicycle.
And he learned in one day because I showed him.
I did fall down a lot for about a week, and then after about 2 weeks, I could ride it pretty good.
Who went to whom to say, this is something I can pass on, or this is something I want to learn, the unicycle?
Oh,
unicycle.
That's just something we did.
Yeah.
You know, my life was performing, and I was always playing with my toys. And
So where some of us had moms or dads who would go out and play catch,
right?
You said, hey, Liam, here's
well,
the
we
unicycle.
Did that, too. We were just playing catch with 6 things at once.
Yeah. Yeah. Make it a little more interesting, you know.
I was 9 years old when I learned how to juggle. I probably could have learned sooner, but I didn't care. But once I decided I wanted to learn, I'd watched him enough that it only took me half an hour. And he taught me to juggle in half an hour. And I did 2 and 3 balls at the end of half an hour. And then I guess the unicycle was a year after that or 2 years.
It was funny when he was 3, when I still lived on Hill Street, I looked around. He wasn't in the house. And I went out on the front porch, and he was out by the big oak tree, and he had a limb about a foot long, and he was pretending to eat fire. And then he would take a bow. He would put the stick in his mouth, and then he would take a bow. And his first time on stage was I was doing a show in Neosho. And I was up there right in the middle of the show, and here he came up the stage door and across the stage, and he was about 3 or 4, you know, and just decided it was time for him to get up there, and he did. He got a big laugh.
So is there something genetic here about wanting to perform?
There's a weirdness gene.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say a genetic discrepancy, to be sure.
Well, what kind of discussions did you, I mean, when you're juggling or learning a new cycle, did you ever talk about performing? I mean.
Yeah, he told me to be quiet, that I would be the silent performer, and then he would do all the talking. And then after I got a little enthusiastic begging for applause during, I believe it was a Norman, Oklahoma show, he reminded me that less is more, and you shouldn't pull focus if you're standing up stage.
In other words, shut up, sit down, and let me do it. I never had an ego problem. I had a big ego, but it was no problem.
Do you ask for advice with performance? Or?
Oh, all the time, yeah.
I do. And I tell him, figure it out for yourself. I had to.
Yeah. My instincts are pretty good. Not to toot my own horn or anything, but...
Okay, you know. This would probably be a good place for the ego story.
Yeah, let's do the ego story.
One of my favorite gigs each year is in Norman, Oklahoma at the Medieval Fair. Mm-hmm. Okay. I always did really well over there. There's something about the people and the, you know, ambiance and everything. And so I was over there performing, and Liam called my wife, Allison, and he said, I did improv last night with my buddies, and he said, we did real good, man. We killed. It was great. He said, what I want to know is, how can you tell when your ego is too big? And he said, I'd ask Dad, but I don't think he'd know. So when I got home, she told me the story, and I had just had a really good weekend over there. The weather was perfect. The crowds were great. People were coming up and telling me, look, we've been coming to see you for 20 years. And, you know, so I called him on the phone. I said, Liam, I just got back from Norman, and I have to tell you, son, I'm a comedy god in Oklahoma. So it was fun.
Any skills, Liam, that you're working on that – you hope to be able to do in the future?
Yeah, juggling.
Yeah.
There are still a few things in the show that was handed down to me that I am not really good at. There are a few things I can do instead, but they don't necessarily fit into the show. And... I think I've been experiencing more anxiety lately because I desperately want to live up to the family legacy, and I'm worried I'm not as good as entertainer as my father.
Oh. Well, who is, really?
Well, are you performing anywhere anytime soon that people can see you?
I am. I'm going to be in Norman, Oklahoma at the venue that we've been talking about this weekend.
Oh.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 4 shows a day. And it's one that Harmless T. Jester performed at every single year for 26 years?
27.
27
I
years.
I missed 1 year when I had surgery on my shoulder.
And so the last time he went there, they were actually gently reminding him of bits of the show that he had left out. And so I'm doing that this weekend for the first time solo, and I'm very curious to know what I'm going to forget and will be gently reminded about.
So will you go and watch?
I was going to. I had every intention of being over there, and something that I have to do got rescheduled for next weekend and instead of this past weekend. And so I'm not going to be able to go.
I should know this, and I apologize. I don't. When you're in Norman, you will be billed as?
Harmless T. Jesterson.
Ah.
Of course.
You know, like
course.
Leif Erikson?
Yes.
Yes.
We actually talked a lot last June when he retired and we had the passing of the torch ceremony.
Literally.
Yes.
We talked a lot about what my clown name was going to be because Harmless T. Jester is my father, and obviously, as we talked about, Useless Tea Jester, which is what I performed as when we were a duo when I was younger. And that didn't feel right. I wanted to perform as Harmless Tea Jester, the character doing the juggling show as my father. But no, no. Clown names are unique. They must be different for every performer. So we settled on Harmless Tea Jesterson, which gives a nod to the family legacy.
Finally, I'm going to give you a chance to be advice, part of an advice show here.
Oh.
Someone's listening and they say, my 3-year-old son is outside acting as if he's eating fire. What should I do?
Get professional help.
Call the paramedics.
Depends on if he's eating real fire. We've discussed this too. I told him some years back, don't ever plan on making a living at this. Because if you do, you'll run into all these obstacles. You have to kind of you have to let it happen if it happens, and plan for something else if it doesn't. You know, I never meant to do this for 37 years. Never did, you know. But I never meant to actually get started in the first place. It was one of those. It built itself, and it was great fun. Great fun. Came mainly from a desire to not work for a living. Mm-hmm.
I took that advice to heart. I went to college. I'm finishing my degree in theater. So if the juggling doesn't work out, I can fall back on acting as a solid career choice.
And he didn't go to college for nothing either. It cost a bunch of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smart plan.
Thank you.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
You.